Will you join me now in the call to worship? We need your presence on the long road, Lord.
The road between fear and hope.
The road between the place where all is lost and the place of resurrection.
Like the disciples walking the road to Emmaus, we are in need of your company.
Jesus, stand among us in your risen power. Let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. Will you now join me in our hymn of praise number 87, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms?
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Lean on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Let's pray. Risen Christ, as you journeyed with the two who traveled the Emmaus Road, travel with us on our journey of faith. In our encounters on the way, give us compassion to listen to one another's story, patience to explain what may seem obvious to ourselves, and courage to make ourselves vulnerable so that others may encounter you through us and we may rediscover you through them. Jesus, would you teach us to live and pray the way you taught your disciples? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Psalm 116, The Message. I love God because he listened to me, listened as I begged for mercy. He listened so intently as I laid out my case before him. Death stared me in the face. Hell was hard on my heels up against it. I didn't know which way to turn. Then I called out to God for help. Please, God, I cried out, save my life. God is gracious. It is he who makes things right, our most compassionate God. God takes the side of the helpless. When I was at the end of my rope, he saved me. I said to myself, relax and rest. God has showered you with blessings. Soul, you've been rescued from death. Eye, you've been rescued from tears. And you, foot, were kept from stumbling. I'm striding in the presence of God. alive in the land of the living. I stayed faithful, though bedeviled. And despite a ton of bad luck, despite giving up on the human race, saying, they're all liars and cheats, what can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured on me? I'll lift high the cup of salvation, a toast to God. I'll pray in the name of God. I'll complete what I promised God I'd do. And I'll do it together with his people when they arrive at the gates of death. God welcomes those who love him. Oh God, here I am, your servant, your faithful servant. Set me free for your service. I'm ready to offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and pray in the name of God. I'll complete what I promised God I'd do. And I'll do it in the company with his people in the place of worship in God's house, in Jerusalem, God's city. Amen.
The New Testament reading is from Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread."
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Ready, James?
Oh, Julia, so, I can't wait to do this with you. It's going to be so much fun.
Pastor Mark is going to help us with a special exercise. What do you think about that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Say hi, Pastor Mark.
Hi, Pastor Mark.
Hi.
Right.
I'm so excited to be with you, James and Julia, and maybe even Jonathan and Luke and Dominic and Clara and, oh, So many, right? Hey, well, good morning. Today we're going to do a little acting. What do you think?
Yeah.
James and Julia, all of our friends watching, what do you think? Can you help me with acting?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you say yes? All right, good. So what we're going to do is do some different faces, okay? So how about you show me a sad face?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, good. Good job. How about you show me a happy face? Happy? Yeah, I see you, Julia. James, how about a happy face? Hey. All right, very good. How about you show me a scared face? Oh, that's good. How about you show me a surprise face? Oh, wow. You guys are better at this than I am. I'm glad that you're here. How about one more? How about an excited face? And you can yell yippee or hooray just to get you all excited. Go, hey! Hey! Okay. You're excited. Well, it sounds like you're very excited.
Wow, you guys did so great. You did so great. Thanks, Pastor Mark, and thanks, James and Julia, and all our friends out there for helping us see what it might have felt like for Jesus' disciples as they were leaving Jerusalem and heading home after Jesus' resurrection and crucifixion. So we're going to talk a little more about that today, but first, can we thank Pastor Mark for helping us out and say bye, Pastor Mark. Thank you.
Bye, Pastor Mark.
You're so welcome. Bye, Julia. Bye, James. Bye, Pastor Alicia. I'll see you later.
Okay. Well, we had so much fun with Pastor Mark, didn't we? We had fun making all different kinds of faces, right? Happy and sad and surprised and scared. And you guys did such a good job showing me all of those different emotions, as I'm sure all of our other friends out there did. Do you know why we made those different faces?
Mom, I have one question for you.
Okay.
How did God come back to life on the cross?
Well, God brought him back to life. And we're going to talk about that right now because, you see, Jesus' friends, they were going home after Jesus was nailed to the cross and rose again, but they didn't know that he had risen again. And so they were really sad and scared. And you guys really helped me understand that by showing me all the different faces. They were sad and scared because Jesus had died and it was awful. And they didn't know and they didn't believe that he had been resurrected yet. And so they were walking home when suddenly someone joined them. And he had a lot to say. And they listened to him and they told him what they had experienced. And then they went and had a meal together. And as this person was breaking the bread, he realized that it was Jesus, that Jesus was alive and that he had come back from the dead. What an amazing thing it is to encounter Jesus. But did you know something? You can encounter Jesus every day, even when you're sad or scared or worried, just like the disciples were when they encountered Jesus, because Jesus is with you. Right now might be kind of a confusing and scary time, and it's okay to be anxious and nervous, and it's okay to say and show when you're feeling sad and scared and angry, because Jesus' disciples did the same. One of them even wrote in Romans 8:28 through 29 that none of this phases us because Jesus loves us, and I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus has embraced us. So, Julia and James and all of our friends out there, it's okay to be nervous and sad about difficult things that are happening in our life. And we can have hope because none of those sad, scary, difficult things can change Jesus' love for us. All right? No matter how we're feeling or what's happening, Jesus shows up and Jesus loves us. That's really good news, isn't it? Julia, do you think you could lead us in a prayer?
Yeah.
Okay, let's pray.
Wow. Dear God, we love you. We hope you stay alive forever. Take care of people when they're dead. I hope you take care of everyone. But on 100 days, we all could die. But the first, who's going to dig us in the dirt? God is. We love you, God. We hope you take care of us. We love you so much. Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
Lord, this morning we come together in this time of prayer, of communal prayer, and agreement before you. Lord, we put to you the concerns that are really at the forefront for us. Diane Boehner and her recovery, we thank you for how you have worked in her life. We thank you how you are taking care of Barbara Dorrell and her recovery. Lord, we praise you for Janice Getz and for all of the wonders that you have done for her and how she has had her treatment and she is back into the road of recovery with her family and with us. We praise you for that. We praise you for the protection you have afforded her from the virus in her workplace and also for her daughter, Kendra. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We continue to pray for Arlene Mueller and her continued recovery. Lord, we're thankful for all of these recovery prayers that we can have. And we include Susie Raines in that all the way in Arizona. And Lord, we thank you for the treatment that she could have and that she is back home and doing well. And she has no infection from any coronavirus. Lord, in that same vein, we thank you for Michael is the caretaker for Christine Schroeder, and that he has been cleared of the virus, which he had contracted, and he has been back to work since this past Thursday. We thank you that Christine has not been impacted by that, and she has been protected. We ask you, Lord, to continue watching over Faith Valido also and in Florida. Lord, we ask you to bless our members that are in Florida that are joining us, listening on this podcast. Lord, we extend a blessing to each and every one of those. And Lord, we continue to pray for all of our Trinity Church family, our friends, our community. We pray for the healthcare workers, the first responders, our leaders during this unprecedented time of this COVID-19 pandemic. Lord Jesus, please be with each and every one. Many of us have family members, even in other states that are involved in the front lines. And Lord Jesus, we ask for your continued protection, healing. Lord, we continue to pray for those who have lost their jobs and those who are impacted because of what is going on, having their jobs closed and this very challenging time of this coronavirus. Lord, we reach out to you. We ask that you would hear our cries, that you would hear our pleading, and that you would take this and take it from us. Lord Jesus, it's not wrong to pray for that, and we ask that you would give us your hope, that we would know that you have this in mind. You are not surprised, and you are taking care of this. Lord Jesus, help us to reach that day when we can say we're all clear. Thank you, Lord, for that beautiful hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking care of us. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for your comfort and protection. In your name we ask it. Amen. Now please join in the hymn of preparation, Will the Circle Be Unbroken?
Standing by my window, caretaker, please drive slow. For this lady you are carrying, Lord, I hate to see her go. Will the circle be unbroken by and by?
It dropped so low in my regard, I heard it hit the ground and go to pieces on the stones at bottom of my mind, yet blamed the fate that fractured less than I reviled myself for entertaining plated wares upon my silver shelf. In her poem, Emily Dickinson's disappointment is palpable. Yet what struck me most about her poem is that her disappointment is less about the broken plate than it is about her shattered hope. She's almost angrier at having had hope in the first place than she was that something bad happened. I imagine the disciples on the Emmaus Road in our gospel reading of Luke 24 felt the same way. In our text today, we see what it means to travel from doubt to joy, and from grief to witness. And I love that this story comes after Easter Sunday, after the resurrection has taken place, because it forces us to wrestle with hope and disappointment. We like Easter because it allows us to move on quickly from the pain and death and darkness of Good Friday. It allows us to sit comfortably in our optimism. But as we see on the Emmaus Road, even after the resurrection, Jesus' disciples had to grapple with their doubt, their disappointments, their questions, and they had to learn to exchange optimism for hope. Author Robert Ludlum said, "Hope is the most dangerous of all emotions and perhaps the most necessary." Hope is painful. It allows us to let down our guard and believe, and when those things hoped for don't play out as we had imagined, we feel as if our hope is for naught. But we must be honest about our doubt and our fear and our disappointment if we are to receive the good news of hope.
Hope is not necessary if there's no death. And often, we must go through death to experience resurrection. On the road to Emmaus, two of Jesus' disciples find themselves returning home to everyday life. They were likely husband and wife, Cleopas and Mary, the wife of Cleopas, who was at the cross. One commentator described them as two sorry disciples who had bet their lives on the wrong Savior, or so they thought. The story forces us to ask what we do when we're at our wit's end, when what we thought was worth our lives has left us washed up emotionally, financially, physically, and spiritually. And that's pretty bleak, I know. But I wonder if we can dwell in the hopelessness and helplessness that Jesus' disciples must have felt, maybe even just for a moment. Because let's be honest, we've all felt that way too. I think any of us can see our reflection in the story of the disciples on Emmaus Road. The grief over what they thought they had lost, their anger as they felt their efforts wasted, their despair as they wondered what's next, their confusion, why God would let this happen, their doubt that the stories of their friends are true, their pain, and an unrealized resurrection. Or so they thought. But as we see, this disappointment, this shattered hope, it's not the end of the story. This text teaches us to stand at the crossroads of saying, we had hoped in meeting Jesus. These disciples met Jesus on the road and don't even recognize him. Perhaps they're so overwhelmed with grief that they can't see hope standing in front of them. I know I've been in those places. I'm still in those places. Not recognizing Jesus, Cleopas asked, "Do you even know what happened?" And I love this bit of irony here. And it made me wonder how often I'd ask God, do you even understand what's going on? Because if you did, then you would know my grief. How interesting that they ask the one who is all too well acquainted with grief, if he even knows what happened. The Emmaus Road teaches us that the traumatic events of the crucifixion were not the end of hope, but its beginning. What if we saw our hardships not as a place for hope to end, but for hope to begin? Our psalm we read today reminds us that thanksgiving to God is not something we do only when our hopes are realized, but rather it's a faithful response in the midst of the ups and downs of life. The psalmist knew what it felt like to feel as if there was no hope, to feel surrounded and like there was no escape. Verse 3 of Psalm 116 could be translated, "The cords of death surrounded me, the constrictions of Sheol, the grave, squeezed me." Where have you felt the cords of death squeezing you? Physical ailments, emotional turmoil, a failing marriage, a disastrous friendship, a relationship that just drains the life out of you, financial woes, a job you hate, a failed or broken dream. Where have you felt the cords of death squeezing you? I'll ask another question. What has God saved you from? And I'm not just talking about spiritually, because often remembrance can prompt hope. That's what the thanksgiving of so many of the Psalms are about. And I'm not talking about a remembrance that glosses over the pain of life, or a remembrance that's used to ignore your current suffering or pain that you're in, but a remembrance that helps breed hope in the midst of that suffering. Friends, let me tell you, I know what it feels like to be squeezed and surrounded by death and pain and hopelessness. I have felt like David in the cave, surrounded, feeling that there's no way out and having to cling to the hope, this little hope that God is there. I know how it feels to utter the words of the disciples. We had hoped. I had hoped. I still utter those words. But I also know what it's like to look back and remember the ways that God has showed up. I grew up in a family ravaged by addiction. I have felt squeezed by the cords of my family's alcoholism. And God is teaching me how to untangle myself. I had hoped for a different relationship with my mother and my sister. And God has provided mothers and sisters along the way. And that doesn't negate the pain that I feel, the grief that I have over not having the kind of relationship I had always hoped for with my mom and my sister. I know what it is to grieve unrealized hopes you had for someone you loved, for a relationship. And I continue to grieve. And I'll probably continue to grieve the rest of my life. I have felt surrounded by what seems like an impossible situation, seeing no way out. I've been there. Friends, I know what it is to sit in Holy Week and grieve my guts out over friends who died, over people I love continuing to hurt themselves, over people I tried to love rejecting me, over unrealized hopes, over injustice perpetuating, over the lack of control that I have over anything, really. This Holy Week, this past Holy Week was rough for me. And it was also the first one I have ever experienced where I really identified the pain and the darkness of the Passion. I know what it is like to be so overcome with grief that you can't see Jesus. And I also know what it's like to have companions bring me back from it. I know what it is to have someone say, pull yourself together and remember what God has done and is doing. And I also know what it's like to have those same people sit in the grief and the pain of it with me. I know what it's like for life to come from all that pain and grief. I'm still there. I can see the ways that God is bringing many resurrections in the midst of death. One of my mentors has reminded me in the midst of my grief that nothing is wasted. Our grief, our pain, our difficult times, our hope, it's not wasted. God will bring life from it. But there will also be death and pain first. Earlier this week in a devotional, I talked about resurrection, and I mentioned how Reverend Nadia Boltz-Weber had helped me understand that resurrection happens while dirt from the grave is still under your fingernails. And I think somewhere between Jesus and now, we've forgotten that resurrection still happens in our midst. Pastor and spiritual director Shannon Michael Pater says, Easter does not always come in 3 days. Stones are rolled away, but sometimes we stay in the tomb. Friends, we have to acknowledge our graves, our tombs, in order for us to leave them. And I wonder how we feel like the Emmaus Road disciples, that what had started with hope ended in disappointment. Pastor Nadia also says, because hope as a starting point looks like Palm Sunday, it looks like the crowds entering triumphantly into Jerusalem, shouting, Hosanna! But Palm Sunday always turns into Good Friday, eventually. As a recovering alcoholic, she knows all too well the pain of disappointment and the pain of rebirth. We had hoped. We had hoped we'd be further along in our career. We had hoped we'd accomplish some goal that's maybe no longer feasible. We'd hoped we'd be able to retire by now. We'd hoped we'd have more to do in our retirement. We'd hoped to be married. We'd hoped to have a thriving marriage. We had hoped to have children. We'd hoped that our children would do or be fill in the blank. We had hoped to have different relationships with our families. We had hoped to have grown up in a home that wasn't filled with addiction. We had hoped not to be abused or abandoned. We had hoped. We think our disappointment is the end of the story, and it's easy to believe that. I know I do often. It's not. Resurrection is. But resurrection is messy, and it takes time, and it requires moving through death first. When our Palm Sunday hopes seem to die with Good Friday, we must hold out hope that resurrection is right around the corner. And sometimes we leave the testimony of our friends to get us through to our own resurrection. I think we need to know that resurrection is coming, while also not acknowledging we have to sit in some pretty painful stuff to get there. Because the things we hoped for in this world will often disappoint us. People will disappoint us. But a hope that does not disappoint, the kind that Romans 5:4 speaks of, that comes from God. But you see, hope is not the same as optimism. Hope does not avoid suffering. In fact, it's born from it. Optimism avoids suffering. Hope sits in it, knowing there is something more coming, knowing that resurrection is coming, even if it's not there yet. You see, I don't believe that God's in the business of optimism. I believe he's in the business of resurrection, of defiant hope, of hope that hopes against the odds. You see, hope does not offer platitudes that gloss over pain and suffering. It does not offer an at least to the grieving. It doesn't offer an open window to the closed door of a dream. Hope says, yes, that is happening. And it sucks. And God is still writing the story. Maybe you just haven't seen it yet. Hope breeds joy, which is different from optimism or positive thinking. And I'm not saying that these things are in and of themselves bad or wrong. St. John Henry Newman says that joy is never a first feeling, but always a second feeling. Joy is what comes after the sorrow, after Good Friday. Friends, to be human is to grieve. And there is hope in the midst of that grief, a hope that will endure, a hope named Jesus who will walk with you along your Emmaus road and let you question and grieve and rage and doubt and then point you to the truth and sit down and have a meal with you. I wonder what tombs we need to acknowledge. Where is there still dirt under our fingernails from the grave? What mini resurrections are being performed in our life by God? It's okay if you can't see them yet. because Jesus is still walking alongside us. And that is really good news. That's really good news that I need to hear. And I hope it's really good news that you need to hear. I want to end by reading you another poem by Emily Dickinson. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. Hope sings even when times get tough. Let's ask God to help us listen and hear. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, though our questions may overwhelm us and our doubts stridently speak, we praise you, O God, for the gift of faith and hope. Though we may miss the signs of your life and ignore the little resurrections all around us, we praise you, Holy Spirit, for the gift of faith and hope. Though we may constantly seek after proof and refuse to believe without seeing, we praise you, O Christ, for the gift of faith and hope. Thank you, great mystery, for your life that transcends our understanding, for your presence from which we can never flee, for your resurrection which is never defeated, and for the gift of faith and hope that enables us to trust even in the midst of our doubts and our fears and our pain. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The strife is o'er, the battle done. Now is the victor's triumph won. Oh, let the song of be sung. Alleluia. The three sad days are quickly sped. Christ rises glorious from the dead. All glory to our risen
as we are all in our individual places of worship today, let's join in the prayer of confession in unison. Then there will be a silent reflection and then the assurance of pardon. Please join me. Lord, you are so patient with us. You brought us through Easter when we rejoiced at the news of the resurrection of your Son, our Savior. You were with us in the upper room when we remained hidden out of our fears, sharing with Thomas our doubts and anxieties. Now you come to us on the road. You come to us in our everyday lives, moving us out of the pristine setting of worship into the world. But we aren't always ready for you and don't always see you or feel your presence. We let so many things crowd in on our lives, and these intrusions blot out our awareness of your presence. Forgive our blindness and our stubbornness. Help us keep our hearts open to you, to see and tell the good things you have done in our lives. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. People of God, hear your assurance. How kind our God is to us, full of grace and compassion. He alone rescues our souls from the grip of death, our eyes from weeping, and our feet from stumbling, so that we can once again walk in his presence with confidence and joy. So be at peace. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Once again, we realize that we cannot be together physically this morning. We can't see each other, hear each other, reach out with a handshake or even a hug. Yet we can pass the peace of Jesus Christ to each other. We know that our Lord and Savior said, "Peace give I to you, not as the world gives. Peace give I to you." It is spiritual. It is wonderful. And it is joyous, and we can wish that to each other through the calls, emails, or even texting each other. And now we can pray with each other, even in our individual places, as we pass the peace of Jesus Christ one to another. Peace be with you, and also with you. Amen. Dear Church, we come to the time in our service when we can offer our gifts to the Lord. This is truly a part of our full worship. And once again, since we're not physically together, we can share in that worship by giving to the Lord through the giving portal on our church website. Or if you like, you can write a check and send it through the mail, because we do check our mail usually every day at church, so you don't need to worry about that getting to the wrong place. We will receive all of your gifts and your tithes and offerings. Our church ministries continue, and we're praising the Lord for that. We have even had some more things come up, and that makes it absolutely wonderful to know that we continue to do ministry even during a difficult shelter-in-place time. God bless you as you give. Please now enjoy the offertory, and then I will come back to you with our dedicatory prayer.
Though at times it seems like I'm coming undone, this walk can often feel lonely. No matter what, until this race is won, I will stand my ground where hope can be found. I will stand my ground where hope can be found. Oh Lord, oh Lord, I know you hear my cry. Your love is lifting me above all the lies. No matter what I face, this I know in time, you'll take all that is wrong and make it right. You'll take all that is wrong and make it right. Oh, 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 oh. Your strength is found at the end of my road. Your grace, it reaches to the hurting. Still through the tears and the questioning why, I will stand my ground where hope can be found. I will stand my ground where hope can be found. Oh Lord, oh Lord, I know you hear my cry. Your love is lifting me above all the lies. No matter what I face, this I know in time. You'll take all that is wrong and make it right. You'll take all that is wrong and make it right. So right. Right. So right. I will stand my ground where hope can be found. I will stand my ground. Stand my ground where hope can be found. I will stand my ground where hope can be found. Oh Lord, I know you hear my cry. Your love is lifting me above all the light. No matter what I face, this I know in time. You'll take all that is wrong and make it right. You'll take all that is wrong and make it right. So right. Right. So
praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy
Lord, we long for you. We long for your presence. We long for each other's presence. And since we cannot have that at this time, we need your company. Thank you, Lord, for being there for us, for always being there for us. And this morning, we bring our offerings to you. It is a sign of our worship, and it is a way that we can continue ministries that flow out of Trinity Church. Lord, we thank you for those ministries, and we thank you that even as we are apart, we find that some of these ministries have even grown. So, Lord, we praise your name, and we ask that you would receive our offerings as a wonderful sacrifice to you. We ask this in your name, dear Father, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth you have for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unlock and set me free. Silently now on bended knee, ready I wait your will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth you send so clear. And while the message sounds in my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now on bended knee, ready I wait your will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with your children thus to share. Silently now on bended knee,
ready I wait your will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Friends, hear the words of the benediction. Go now as those who have met with Christ in the morning of this day. Go now as those whose hearts have burned within them as the scriptures were explained. Go now as those who have been touched by resurrection. And may the blessing of God be upon you, body, mind, and spirit. Amen.